And now the game where we ask important people about unimportant things. In 1992, a young political consultant was introduced to an even younger man who hadn't at that point even decided to run for office. And despite what you've heard, he did not drop to his knees and say, "You are the light and the way and the truth." That's nonsense. Nonsense. Both men remained standing. Anyway, the man he met that day is now the President of the United States, and that political consultant is now his senior advisor, David Axelrod. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Good to be here.
Good to have you. First question. David Axelrod, evil genius or benevolent genius?
Which part do you want me to dispute? You
can take your pick.
No, you know what the genius is?
What is the genius?
Everybody asks me, what's the key to being a success as a consultant? Good taste.
Really?
Good taste.
That's why you work for Elliot Spitzer.
Exactly.
You thought we had forgotten about that, didn't you?
Now I know what all these people back here do.
Exactly.
You've actually got researchers.
We do. Okay. People have referred to you as the Democratic Karl Rove after Democrats wanted a Democratic Karl Rove. How do you react to that?
I always reject that.
Really? Why?
I always reject that. Well, I'd like to think we're better than that.
Yeah.
But Carl wanted to run the whole Republican Party out of the White House. I don't have any aspirations to run the Democratic Party out of the White House.
Really?
Yeah.
You could, though. If you told the entire Democratic Party to go run around the block 8 times, they would. There would be a trough in the pavement.
Obviously, you're not familiar with the Democratic Party.
I didn't say they'd run in the same direction. I just said they'd do it. But one thing you have in common with Karl Rove, if I may, is that you went from political consulting, running campaigns, to governance.
Yes.
And I'm very curious as to how that felt. I mean, have you ever been in the midst of an actual policy debate where you're setting policy and said to yourself, my God, all those years when I was just talking about this in the campaign trail, I had no idea what I was talking about?
Never.
Really? Never happened? All of your preconceptions about what
there were many times when I thought I didn't know what I was talking about. There weren't times when I thought there was any consequence to that.
Oh, I
didn't
see.
Know what I was talking about. So the initial adjustment for me and the hardest adjustment for me was when you're a political consultant or a reporter, as I've been, you kind of have control of your own life, including you don't have to wear a tie.
Yeah.
And now I have to come to work every morning at 7 o'clock. I have to wear a tie. So I thought I'd come here, hip show.
Yeah, we're very
don't
hip.
Don't need a tie. And look at you guys, even Paula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To show up wearing gym shorts.
That's...
If it'll help you, you have our permission to go in feety pajamas.
But what exactly, if I may, do you do? I mean, for example, we look at...
You sound like the president.
I know. Really? We look at you and say, what are you doing here? Where do you... Get your hands out of the candy jar. You don't belong here. Leave that alone. No, I mean, I'm curious because, I mean, you guys at the Obama administration, you're very good at what I think Michael Deaver used to call the optics. So let's take the president's dog. Obviously, that was focus grouped. You really wanted to appeal to the Portuguese-American community with the choice. Seriously, is it part of your job to worry about that, how things will play politically, how they'll look, how they should be framed? Is that what
you did? I only got called in for the final three on the dog.
Really?
I wasn't there at the beginning of the
process. Seriously, were you consulted on
the dog? I was not consulted.
Really?
I was not consulted.
Really?
Yeah.
But who were the other two? I mean, were there really two others?
One was Miss California,
actually. Yeah. Oh. Dude, you just lost the carelessly topless demographic for 2012. You said a little while ago that sometimes you'll go and you'll give your opinion to the president, of course, but do you correct him? Do you tell him he's wrong? And has that changed since before the inauguration and now?
You know, that's interesting. Honest to God, the most remarkable thing about him is how even he is. He's really in so many ways the same guy I met years ago.
Yeah.
And he's very open to discussion, criticism. People can challenge him. He'll challenge you back.
Can I ask a question? If a screw goes loose, I mean, if he says something really sort of crazy, who is the person that has to respond to it first? Like, for instance, if he said, You know who I want for the envoy to North Korea? Miss California. What would you, whose responsibility would it be to say, stop?
Look, as I said, he takes this well. Generally, I pass a note to the person to the left of me and say, you really ought to mention something about this Miss California thing.
And strangely, that person left you has to be constantly replaced.
Yes.
David, did you ever become sick of the word change yourself? Because for a lot of us, that really became too much after a while.
Do we overdo?
Yeah. Right. I wouldn't even ask people to break a dollar anymore.
We thought about changing change, but we...
Yeah.
We're so invested in it.
We are honor-bound to ask you this. We promised the media we would. Where does the president smoke, and what is he smoking?
I have no knowledge of that.
Really? The people listening at home don't know this, but he just leaned and consulted with counsel before saying that. You have no personal knowledge.
I have no personal knowledge of that.
No?
And
never smell it on his breath?
You know,
President
and I are close, but I don't get that close.
No, I understand. Well, David Axelrod, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here today to play a game we're calling...
No, we can't.
You guys in the Obama campaign and administration, you are not the first bunch of bright-eyed optimists to call for national renewal. There have been all kinds of utopians and dreamers before you in America. We're going to ask you three questions about some very, very wonderful ideas about political change that ended badly. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Carl, who is presidential advisor David Axelrod playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Joanne Martinez of Washington, D.C.
All right. Here we go. One of the most important and influential early social philosophers was the Frenchman, Charles Fourier. He inspired the founding of utopian communes across America in the early 19th century. Fourier said that if we just lived according to his rules, what wonderful things would happen to people? A, they would never need to eat again. B, they would be able to walk around entirely naked in all weather. Or C, they would grow powerful prehensile tails.
Ooh, wow.
So they could walk around naked in any weather, even when it's not windy?
Yes. Windy, no windy, warm, cold, they would just achieve the ability to no longer need clothing if they just lived according to his precepts.
No ties?
No ties. Sounds attractive to you, doesn't it?
I'm picking that one.
You're going to go for that one. It's a dream of his, but it's not true. He said that if people adopted his methods of living, his rigorous ways of social organization, they would all grow powerful prehensile tails.
Neat! I'd love that.
People actually tried to live the way he, in what he called his phalanxes, his communes in Ohio and elsewhere, and despite the best attempts, no tails were ever noticed. All right. You have two more chances. You've lost the first primary, but there are many more to go.
They'll win the caucuses. They'll make up for it there.
Another Frenchman, Barthélemy Prosper Enfantin. He founded a utopian commune outside Paris in the 19th century, and he dictated not only how his followers should live, but what they should wear, including what? A, shapeless white gowns with masks so that people would have to deal with each other without knowing or reacting to their sex. B, vests that buttoned up in the back so that people had to rely on each other, even to get dressed. Or C, large signs that advertised people's personal dislikes and likes in a special code so that people would know how to treat each other.
Mm. All right, I'm going with the vests.
You're going to go with the vests. You're correct. That's what it was.
Nice.
Very good. Vests buttoned in the back. The idea was to stress interdependence. It takes a village to get each other dressed, was the idea. All right, it all comes down to this. Last question. One of the earliest utopian communities here in America was founded in New England in the 1790s by one William Dorrell. Things went south when a claim that Mr. Dorrell made about himself turned out to be untrue. What was the claim? A, that he could drink raw sewage and survive. B, that he was impervious to pain. Or C, that he could calm down the warlike Indians over there simply by smiling at them.
I don't think any of them were true.
I do want to point out before you answer that your boss, Obama, got two right when he
was on the
show.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
And don't think he won't remind me if I ever get this right. I'm going with C.
I'm sure your boss could do that, but he claimed to be impervious to pain. I'm so sorry. He said what happened was, he said his religious faith made it impervious to pain, and he was preaching this one day at a meeting, and a skeptic got up and said, yeah, and socked him in the jaw, and kept hitting him until Durrell said, actually, yes, I do feel pain, and could you please stop hitting me? And his followers were so disillusioned that they all abandoned camp and left.
I had that sensation trying to answer the question.
I know. Carl, how did David Axelrod do in our quiz?
Well, David needed at least two correct answers to win for Joanne Martinez, but he had just one.
You played it right. You did not show up your boss. David Axelrod played a key role in the successful presidential campaign of Barack Obama. He is now a senior advisor to the president. David Axelrod, thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure to have you.